Welcome to the Free From Mummies podcast, brought to you by Kate and Jade, mates, mums, and allergy and asthma advocates.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Free From Mummies podcast. This is a very special episode. This is the Free From Mummies Big Night In, and we are joined by not one, not two, but three inspiring guests. We've all got ourselves a cheeky bevy. I've got a sparkling white wine, and we encourage you to get yourself a nice drink, sit down comfortably, and we hope that you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did recording it. And welcome to a very special episode of the Free From Mummies podcast. Tonight we are having the Free From Mummies Big Night In, and we are joined by some amazing guests. So I think it's best that you guys introduce yourselves. If we could start with you, Steph, that would be great.
Hi everyone, I am Steph. I run Positively Allergic, the Instagram page, and my eldest son, William, is the one who has severe allergies. We're trying to push allergy awareness in schools. That's our main focus, with a positive outlook.
Thanks so much, Steph. Over to you, Claire.
Hi, everyone. My name's Claire. I run the Allergy Collective on Instagram. My eldest daughter has multiple allergies, and she is the inspiration for my page. And I am trying to help instill confidence and empower children with allergies.
Woohoo! Manpreet, please.
Hi, I'm Manpreet, and my Instagram page is Food Allergy Fit. It was inspired by my daughter, Eva, who has multiple severe life-threatening food allergies. And this journey has led me to train as a chef, and I basically want people that have food allergies to be able to eat amazingly delicious food.
Yay. So inspiring, all three of you. I'm just like, wow.
Inspiring.
What you guys have done with your journeys. And that's what we were going to start with, weren't we, tonight? Anyway, was like, what positives have come from your child's diagnosis? And it sounds like all of you kind of, you know, made the most of what the situation is.
Yeah, well, for me personally, I think it's given me a lot more confidence to speak out and be a voice for allergy awareness. It's shocking to see the lack of it, how much it lacks here in the UK. We started our allergy journey in Canada, and they're so clued up about allergies. All the schools are aware of it. There's specific training for the teachers. Students are made aware, pictures up in schools, specific allergy-friendly products are provided by school dinners. You know, it was a huge thing. So when we moved it back here, I assumed it would be the same, and it really isn't. So I think with Will's diagnosis and with him starting school, that's where we tend to focus most of our attention.
Yeah. That's so amazing to have that comparison, because I suppose when you've got nothing to compare it to, what schools are doing at the moment, I don't know. And I know it's not enough, but when you've got such an amazing thing to compare it to, then you really see that there is so much more that needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went undercover, you know, all closer, as a teaching assistant. And I managed to hit about 8 schools here in Cardiff. And on one occasion, I wasn't briefed about a child having a dairy allergy, and he was anaphylactic to dairy. And I handed him the carton of milk. His picture wasn't up. There wasn't any, no one had briefed me. Wow. And it was just a close miss where another little kid came up to me and went, he can't have milk. It makes him sick. And I was just like, you know, he's the one that saved that little boy. And I would have felt horrendous. Mm-hmm. But they don't do enough staff training here. And that's why we go for more of the outlook of looking to educate the children, because they're the ones who seem to have a bigger voice.
Yeah.
They just seem to get it, don't they, like off the bat.
Yeah. And they're accepting of it. You don't get that with adults. Adults, there seems to be a lot of pushback. And you're like, really? It's not like I've made this choice.
Yeah. And as a teacher as well, like, one thing I can say is, like, kids, they will call you out on any mistake or
just kids in general, isn't it? Like, I feel like Quill just loves to correct me. He was falling asleep the other night and I was reading a book that he knows and his eyes were shut and he went, "No, mommy, it says that, not that." I was like, "Who's asleep?"
I love that. I was like, "You've skipped a page."
No, I didn't.
like just sleep.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting learning curve. We've got a way to go yet, but I mean, the support and the encouragement we get from other parents online is phenomenal. Yeah. I can't ever thank them enough for how much they support our page, and they interact with Will. And Will's like a huge. He's very vocal and he's got a lot of confidence compared to most children. But he's like, I'm the kid with allergies. yeah, love like, it. Brag. Once he realizes and he meets everyone else, he's going to be like, oh, I'm not the only one.
that's interesting as well to hear from that school side. So you were saying about the children being really like proactive and parents supportive of your page. Have you found his school setting has been the same then?
We were really lucky with his year group. The parents have been phenomenal. They've been really understanding. He was catered to at birthday parties. When I was apprehensive about things, they were really open to me asking questions. In terms of the school itself, we've had a few, I'll say learning curves that we've had to overcome together because it's a two-way street. I'm still learning how they need me to talk to them and they're still learning how to communicate with me. So, yeah, we've had a couple of close calls in that aspect, but they're getting better, I'd say, slowly.
It's good to hear. It's nice to hear that perspective as well from like Quill's not in school yet. So I always listen in carefully to how to manage that when we do eventually get there.
Oh, it's I'll be honest, like communication is a huge thing, but also this. Don't be afraid to be that parent that asks the questions, though. A lot of parents are, I don't want to inconvenience the teachers. I don't want to bother them. But you're helping them. You're helping them as well, because they're clueless to it. If they have a child with severe allergies in before. So you're preparing them for future generations as well. So be the helicopter parent.
Yeah.
It opens up the communication then as well, because if you don't say anything and they don't know, then there's no communication.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Claire.
Yes. What Steph was saying about like the families and the parents online, I think that is one of the biggest positives for being in having a child with allergies is the people you come into contact with online.
Yeah.
And the other and the other parents that are so supportive and the community that you find. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of negatives online, obviously, but people are so welcoming.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the club that nobody wants to be a part of, but once you're in it, you're really happy. Do you know what I mean? With the people that you've kind of come across. And I know myself, I don't know about anybody else, but like that support that kind of boosts you along the way, like if you're having a tough time or a challenging time or whatever, then that, you know, it's an individual situation to be in, because having allergies is kind of not like other medical conditions. It's quite individual in how you have to manage it, I think.
I think the other thing as well with allergies is the lack of consistency with them, you know. So I think I've had chronic conditions my whole life, but, you know, I know when my flares, I know treat, you know, but with Quill's allergies, I've always felt like you're never safe. It's like never on shifting ground.
It's really unpredictable, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. So I feel like that's a really hard part to manage.
Yeah. But our most recent appointment last week, like the doctor was saying to Teddy, like, well, she wasn't saying directly to Teddy, she was kind of saying it to me because Teddy was on his iPad, obviously, because he was allowed to be on. Just kind of said, like, you know, there is no cure, and so it's not like any other condition, really. You just kind of have to, and you can't prepare. You wouldn't know that today you can have an allergic reaction because you kind of prevent it. So in that way, it's just like, it's different, isn't it?
It's really hard to hear that as well. It's really hard to hear that there's no cure, because you just you don't have any hope, and you're like, well, I just have to figure out a way of just living with this. And I think that is one of the hardest things, because you're looking for that, or what, when you get the diagnosis, you're like, well, what do I need to do? Like, how can I you know, improve the condition? How do they get better? And the information, as we all know, isn't consistent. Some people have done challenges really early on and, climbed the ladder. And then, some are told, no, completely, I was told completely avoid all nuts. Mm. And the advice is different now, because you try and get them in earlier. Yeah. So as a mum, you just think, oh, I'm not doing it right, or I haven't done it the right way. You can fall into that trap.
You can. That's why I like to keep up with like research and stuff that's happening, because there's so much going on that you just don't even realise. And I'm not saying they're going to have a cure next week or anything, but it's all progress.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because otherwise, like you were saying, Manpreet, you're kind of like, well, now what? Because I know some conditions are chronic and lifelong. I understand that. But it's so individual that there are children, or there are people that grow out of their allergies, and then there are some that don't, and then you kind of never know which kind of box you're going to fit into until you're in it. That can be really hard. But it does, it helps me anyway, seeing the research and like the kind of positive things that might happen and are happening.
Definitely. I think for me, like the way it's delivered, when it's all, I know we can all relate to it, but you're sort of like a deer in headlights listening to that diagnosis, and the way that it's delivered as well, it's just really shocking. And like you said, you don't necessarily know anyone that's been through it. Mm-hmm. You then have to retell that information back to everyone else who don't quite understand. And just having that supportive community has just been such a lifeline to us.
Yeah, it's a game changer, really, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
But you know what I find really amazing is that we're all mums of children with severe allergies. It's not a joke. And we get told by people, oh, it's because you didn't have enough vitamin D. Or your child wasn't exposed to enough germs as a baby, or you didn't introduce peanuts early enough. We get all the different excuses. We have meetings with GPs. I mean, we were told that William's, he'll never grow out of any of his allergies, and it's just a matter of a time before he has an anaphylactic reaction. And I walked out of that meeting and I thought, no, I'm not having that. Like, I am not having you put the negative already without me even trying to give him to let him know he's going to have an amazing life. And I love that about our community, and all you mums as well, is that you can be given, it seems like an uphill struggle some days, and then, but yet you still take a step back and go, no, I'm going to do the best for my kid, and we're all going to be fine. And I think it's amazing, the strength that you get from it. And it's just super empowering to see other people's stories.
Yeah. And I think even on days when you're like not having you've not had a particularly good experience with a healthcare professional, and then you go online and people kind of build you back up again. And then you kind of remember that it's not, that's just one bad day and one bad experience. Not what life is like. Like, we know, kind of like the things that we share, like how we can manage it and how we can kind of put a positive spin on it.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah, there are people I've met online that I would trust to look after my child more than people I know in real life. That probably sounds really terrible, but
real life.
in real life. Yeah. For real life. My daughter used to say, for real life. Because they get it, and you don't have to explain all the intricacies and all the, all the little bits, like, if you've got a bag of food, you can't just go and stick your hand in that bag of food, because then they can't then go back in that bag of food because your hand's been, do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff. And things that other people just won't think of.
Yeah.
And, don't mix the cups up. If you've all got the same cup, don't mix it up. How are you going to know which one's which? And that sort of stuff. It's just stuff that other people don't have to think of, so they don't, which is fair enough. But
I think going back to what you were saying, Steph, as well, it's interesting. So I think all of you guys show you've got the bits of control that you can get. So you don't have the control of the allergies or, you know, what journey happens, but we can kind of control how we respond to that, you know, to a degree. So by setting up all the things that you guys have done, it's just amazing, and how much you've given back to the allergy community and helping others with your children's journey. And I think that kind of makes me feel like a bit empowered, because I'm like, oh, I do have something that I can do to help his journey. And I think we've had some really, really fantastic guests, including you, Claire, obviously, on the podcast, who've spoken about how they have used their own allergy journeys to create these things like Anacare. Oh my god, I was just
that's
like,
amazing,
wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah, just, you know, the thought of them forgetting their pens but there being some out in the community as a norm would just be amazing. So yeah, I think it's great to see people using this and making something positive from it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's about, yeah, the saying is control the controllables. And yeah, I mean, the first time that I started cooking for Eva, and she was drinking soy milk then. And I remember I made a fish pie and it was just like, it was just so disgusting. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, I wouldn't eat this. I can't believe. You know, you're having to eat this. And obviously when you probably tasted the alternative food from it, it's so much better now. But you know, there was that, oh, I'm not going to eat anything that's not dairy free because it's not going to taste the same. And I was just convinced that I just wanted to try to make really good food, so that especially when I was entertaining, I wasn't having to make separate food.
Yeah.
My daughter and the cross contamination. Mm. And a lot of people, you can't actually really tell a lot of times you can't tell the difference. No. And what, you know, one of the things that she was asked recently about what she likes about mummy. And she said, oh, mummy cooks me lovely food.
Aww.
And I was like, and that's just that's my love language. Just feeding.
Yeah. Do you want to come here, Manpreet?
Yeah, I was going to say. You're going on tour.
Meal, and he just went, that's disgusting.
Oh no.
So obviously my skills are subpar. So yeah.
I get the same thing. The boys come in and they say, "Oh, who's cooking dinner tonight?" And if it's me, there's a groan, a horrible groan. But if it's Dad, they're like, "Oh, what are we having?" You're like, thanks.
Yep.
Kids, eh?
Yeah. Good for your ego, aren't they?
No, but I think it's great. Just, again, another wonderful example that, like, Manpreet has just taken the struggles and turned it around into something positive that her children will remember.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we all tend to forget that it's a uphill struggle, but how much we've done ourselves. And look at you guys. You've launched this amazing podcast, and which we all love.
Yeah, so good.
Boys listen to it in the car, and it helps Will. It just gives him this little burst of confidence, and it's lovely to see. So I think every now and then we should be like, yes, we deserve this bar of chocolate.
Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely, Steph.
I was thinking about the next question. What has been the biggest thing that you have overcome since your child's diagnosis through your allergy journey? What's the standout thing that kind of dealt with and overcome?
Good question.
For me, it's definitely around speaking up and just having that confidence to speak, not even to second guess myself, but to just always, you know, I'm very matter of fact. So with the school, it's very, this is black, you know, it's black and white. Yeah. She has allergies. Yeah. I'm not kind of asking your permission, the language that I use. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of mums are concerned, and I was how would the other parents in her class you know, what kind of, how would they react? But I think because I was very, again, just, you know, I'd been doing it for a number of years. Like, Eva has food allergies. This is what she can't have. And this is, you know, and this is the situation. This is it. And they never, you know, they never asked for evidence. I think I felt like at the beginning, people were wanted, you know, evidence, because I felt like maybe they didn't believe me. They were like, "How do we know that she has allergies?" Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to prove it. But by this point, I think I don't really get questioned on it in terms of like, how do you know? People now just take my word as what I'm saying. So for me, I feel a lot more confident talking about it. But again, I don't make, we just kind of live our normal life as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And at certain points I am reminded of actually how difficult it is for Eva sometimes. For example, we went to the Cotswolds, and I had baked cakes and I'd baked all her food for her. But I wanted to eat a proper cream tea. Mm. We went into this tea room, and Suri had an ice cream, her first cow's milk ice cream. And Eva couldn't have anything. She couldn't have a single thing in the place, and they had cakes on display, and she was looking. Mm. And I just had a moment of, wow, you can't, there's not a single thing in here you can eat. And I am so grateful that there are alternatives, because what, you know, how crazy would that life be if she literally couldn't eat anything? And I just cuddled her and said, you know, one day you will be able to eat an ice cream. I just know that you will. And just reassured her and hugged her. And it, you know, it's moments like that that it really reminds me of, actually, God, this is crazy. Yeah, there's so many things she can't eat. But yeah, it's just, I think just a confidence. Maybe it was with me that I felt that people were judging me. Maybe they weren't. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't know about it. But definitely the confidence about speaking up.
I've had something similar recently. So I'm sure, like, lots of you will be, like, when you join the classroom reception, like, the parents all join a WhatsApp group. I'm not sure who initiates that, but we always seem to end up in a WhatsApp group. And everyone kind of knew that it was Teddy that had the allergies, though I never addressed it in the group. So parties and things, I would message the parents separately.
Yeah.
And then they've had their first school trip, obviously, because of COVID. They're in year one. This is their first ever school trip. And the letter went home. Now, because they're in key stage one, a lot of them, the majority of the class, have school dinner. So they sit separately to Teddy, who's on packed lunches anyway. But because they were going on the trip, everyone had to have a packed lunch. So in the letter that went home, they said, please don't bring dairy in the lunchbox. So it's things that can spill, basically, that could, you know, cause a reaction for Teddy. And it was all going off in the WhatsApp group, and I got to a point where I thought, I'm going to have to address this and address it with everyone in the class. So I just kind of, and it's not in my, I'm not kind of like, I don't like to draw attention to things like that, but I was like, you know, I'm going to be with these parents, I'm going to be in year six. So, you know, I need to kind of like face up to it. And I sent this message and just said, you know, it's not a case of Teddy will get a tummy ache tomorrow. It's a case, it's, you know, he could have an anaphylactic reaction, and that's why it's so, you know, serious. Kind of gave him a bit of a backstory, and the messages that I got back were just amazing. And I thought, oh, why didn't I just do this when they were in reception? And yeah, I'm just not good with speaking out at all. Like, but that's one thing that I've definitely learned to kind of, you have to, don't you? Because you can't not.
Yeah, I also wrote a two-sided A4 page letter to one of the parents.
Love it. You see, I should have spoken to you earlier.
It was a bit like the Friends, the Ross and Rachel. The Ross and
Rachel.
It was very long. I felt like, oh God, this is so like over the on one hand I thought, oh my God, this is a little bit over the top, but on the other hand I did actually have one of the other mums saying, you have to be really explicit and you have to make everything really clear, and I think having people like that as well really helps. And basically just the backstory behind the letter, one of the girls had brought in pistachios, which Eva's very, very, very severely allergic to, is really high. And she brought those in as a snack, and the teacher had seen them and immediately took them off her, washed her hands and everything, gave me a call. But this other mum was phoning me saying, I can't believe she's done that. And she was like, I don't even let my child eat M&Ms or any peanut. I don't let her, you know, she's like, I go to all these lengths to make sure that Eva's safe, and I would never bring in a snack that Eva's allergic to. And she's just brought in something that's so, you know, that Eva could react so severely to. And so she was really, really angry. Whereas I was more like, I'm glad Eva's okay. I'm glad the teacher picked up on it. I've spoken to the mum. But I just, you know, I did feel like actually, let me just write everything down to explain like how I would deal with birthday parties, how I deal with play dates, what things can cause an allergic reaction, and those kind of things. So it would, yeah. And they, you know, I had some lovely messages saying, wow, I can't believe, you know, what you have to manage day to day. It must be really difficult. So it's nice to get that support and empathy. Yeah. And actually the parents are really good. And there have been occasions where I've needed them to pick either. I've been working or something's come up. I needed them to look after Eva. And I literally have no other option. I don't have family close by, so to have people that, you know, there's always going to be that element of doubt at the back of my mind, but they take it really seriously, and you know, they explain that they clean everything, and they won't give her any food, and they'll check every single thing with me, so they you know, I can just tell that they take it really seriously. I think someone else has said before, just having one or two people, like, you don't need a class full of parents. You just need one or two that really get it. And that's just such a huge help.
For me, I manage what ifs a lot better now than I used to. I don't let it restrict me as much as before. Or restrict us as a family, if you like, because I think a couple of points I've been a bit like, oh, but what if this happens, or, you know, what if this, yeah. And what if this, and what if this, I'm pretty sure you all know what I'm talking about, and I used to get kind of caught up in that quite a lot, and I don't know what changed, I don't know how it changed, but I kind of got to a point where I think I live by kind of the hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
That's amazing.
Because I think that's, and I also got to the point where I realized you can do all you can do, like control the controllable, like you were saying. And you physically can't do anything else. And either you control the controllable and go and live life, or you sit and think, what if? And that's no life for anybody, really.
No.
And you want your children to go off and do what they, you know, do what they want to do in life, and travel, and, you know, do all of these different things, and not be held back by their allergies. So yeah, I think that's my biggest thing. Hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
That's huge, Claire, and I totally can relate to that. when you can think like that, it just takes up so much less space in your head.
No, it really, it does, because it just, it's like a big weight in your brain. It sounds ridiculous, but like the being controlled by the what ifs. And I'm not saying that every day I get up and I'm like, yeah, you're like, gung ho, let's go. you know, because some days I'm a bit like, oh yeah, but but I'm much better at managing it now than, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
I agree with you, Claire. I completely agree with you. Like, that's what I was going to say, is just overcoming the anxiety of being an allergy parent, because it sucks.
It does, yeah.
And so it's a hard step to take, but once you know how, once you've figured out the trick of changing your mindset, that's huge.
Yes.
And like you say, you have days, you can, you know, there's good days and bad days with it, isn't there?
Of course.
It's great that you recognize that.
Yeah,
that's why I'm such a big mindset advocate, because it's the one thing that's helped me the most. It's the one thing I bang on to my daughter about all the time. Pretty sure she's sick of me, but yeah, it's your mind is so, well, we all know it's so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, so powerful. I mean, it's just like practicing, you know, the mindset thing. We do like bits of gratitude, so each day I'll say what you're grateful for today and stuff, but there'll be days where I'm just like, I'm not grateful for anything. I'm so ungrateful. But then
today, when you reflect, rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. But when you reflect it back, you're like, oh well, I've got loads to be grateful for. It's just
that's where the little things come in that are so useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are days where you're just like, nah, this isn't happening today. But when the little things, and you actually sit and think about it, it only takes a few minutes, it trains your brain, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to start banging on about it, so let's move on.
Honestly, like, I've got such a long way to go with it. I'm not there yet. I know that it takes a lot.
It does take a lot, and like I was saying earlier, it's so individualized, and such an, I can't even think of another way of describing it, because it, you know, allergies they affect every part of your life, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, because you have to plan and you have to be prepared, and you know, food is everywhere,
it's so,
and you
true.
Kind of need it to sustain yourself. So it's something that's like an ongoing thing, and it does take effort.
I had a really ungrateful moment today, because my friends are coming up this weekend, and you know, they're just like, oh yeah, we'll wing it, and I say, shall we go for meals and things, and I'm like, oh, it's just so hard, you know, it's not that easy. I'd love to be able to just go somewhere and just be able to like go wherever we want, but then you have to take a step back and just be like, right, I'm grateful that we can go out, we can do stuff, we just have to find another way around it. So I don't know if any of you have a funny story or an anecdote you share about living with allergies.
Well, Will sometimes uses an excuse not to eat my cooking. He's like, I might be allergic to this meal, Mum. And I'm like, I really don't ask, because it's fine, you're going to live. So that's Will. They're eating my cooking.
Suri, she doesn't have, touch wood, she doesn't have any allergies that we know about. And she's younger than Eva, and so she's obviously grown up just knowing, you know, knowing that Eva has allergies. And she sometimes says, I hear her saying to her friends or to other people, oh, I can't have that because I have allergies and I'm allergic. And she also, you know, when we're like, okay, if you've eaten something, we have to wash your hands in case, you know, Eva has a reaction.
Yeah.
But Suri also thinks that if she's eaten something, she then, Eva can't touch her at all, because Eva will have an allergic reaction. She will be like, but I had a cake, Eva, you can't touch me because I ate a cake. And it's like she doesn't obviously understand yet. She's just she's very caring, and She really understands. She's a really like good sister, and she really understands. I can't think of anything.
Lara's learnt EpiPen.
Has she?
Yeah, so she goes around, and Will's been, we're trying to get him to take responsibility and carry his own EpiPen and have all that kind of stuff. And Lara just screams at him, EpiPen, randomly.
Just, like, that's brilliant.
Room, not going anywhere. She'd just come in, go right into William's face and go, EpiPen! And I was like, okay. So he has to go and run and get his EpiPens to prove to her he's holding them.
Brilliant.
So... That's she's useful.
She's
a little
foghorn
carrying, walking around.
Sorry, and Eva, they have the medical bag, and Eva has the injection, and she puts it into Siri's leg, and she says, don't worry, this isn't going to hurt, and then injects like the EpiPen into leg. But it's cute in that sense. And the other, I suppose, cute thing with Eva's friends is that they won't eat anything when Eva's around that Eva's allergic to. Even drinks that have got, so Eva's allergic to things, some fruits. So even juices, like some of the innocent juices Eva can't have. They won't eat, they literally are like, no, we're just not having anything. Which again is really cute and really nice, like the empathy of children at that age is just really, really heartwarming.
Yeah, when they find a friend like that, I'm like, you must be friends with this person now for the rest of your life.
You are never leaving each other.
I hope you like this person because mummies, you know, we've got a forever friendship now.
We're getting to the point where William is, William's best friend has banned all William's allergies from his house, and his parents are like, well, William doesn't live here. Like, no, nuts here. There's nothing. William might come over for a play date, and we're like, we're in lockdown. I really do. So for like 3 years, they weren't allowed to eat any of Will's allergies. She's like, it's really hard. I was like, you're telling me? I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So yeah, I think it's going to be tricky when William starts dating as well.
I'm trying to gloss that one over.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about that right now.
Be a priest. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm going to try that one.
Yeah. I keep on chatting at him that, and he's like, I'm not feeling it. And I'm like, just be a gamer and hide in your room all day and play Fortnite.
No.
I will do that. So I was like, yes, there you go.
Oh god, that's so funny.
But it's great to see, like, when with kids and they can have such empathy, but you can also see the funny side to it. I mean, it's not great, but even when the siblings are joking about it, like with Alex, he's saying things like, you just randomly shout out nuts and just go, it's okay, well, I'm just kidding. But the mere fact that they understand it is huge. Yeah. So big and comforting.
Yeah, definitely. So if you had one piece of advice that you would give to another allergy parent or someone just starting out their allergy journey, what would it be?
I would say reach out to a support. I just think having, like, whatever you're going through, I think having, you know, allergies or anything, could be anything that you're going through, just speaking to someone else that is either going through the same thing at the same time as you or has been there and gone through it and completely understand you, I think that has been the most helpful thing to me. Just knowing that it wasn't me on my own going through this, but also just the support of somebody just understanding and valid and just feeling validated, that's been the biggest thing for me. I've had so many people not validate, from the medical professionals to very close friends and family members, and it's just you don't want to be in that position where you think you're the one who's like imagining it. And right. And at the beginning, sorry, I'm rambling, but at the beginning, when Eva was having so many reactions when she was weaning, I was in that place of like, is this all in my head? Am I imagining this? And some of the foods, you know, she reacted to lentils, and I was like, how can someone, you know, people were like, how can you react to lentils and some of the other, you know, things that she's allergic to when not in the top 14? So because they're not in the top 14, people were like, well, she definitely can't be allergic to those. Yeah. You must have like anxiety. And so just, you know, having that support is huge. So that's what my advice would be. And if you'd like to join, I host a monthly allergy friendly meetup. It's virtual, and it's usually on the third Thursday of the month at 8:30 p.m. UK time. If you would like to join, you're more than welcome. It's absolutely free, and just lovely, supportive, completely non-judgmental group of people who completely understand what it's like to live with food allergies.
I was actually just going to mention that, so I'm glad that you've got that in there for everyone. Also, I think what you said, like, so many people will be able to relate to, so sharing that.
Thank you.
I would say that for someone who's right at the beginning, you will feel less overwhelmed than you do right now. You will get to a point where you don't feel so much like a deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. And like Manpreet said, just reach out for support. As we've said in this, the community is the biggest, you know, the biggest support, biggest cheerleaders that we've got. So yeah, just you will feel less scared and overwhelmed than you do at the beginning.
Thank you, Claire. For me, I think my best piece of advice I could give to allergy parents is stand up and be strong, because it is an uphill challenge. There is lots of support out there, but you've also got to find your voice. And for, like, as an allergy parent, we have to ask the hard questions. You're not happy with what a consultant has told you? Go back and ask them again. Get the answers that you want and you need to make the best decisions for your children. And I am all about empowering people. I'm all about great mental health. At the same time, you have to look after you and be comfortable with your decisions. And until you find that inner voice and confidence to do that, you know, you're going to be a little bit lost and a little bit unsure. But once you have that, little bit of confidence to challenge the medical consultants, to put an allergy awareness message on your Facebook page, to start speaking to other parents in your children's school about their allergies, it makes it, everything just seems so much easier.
Yeah, because I think for me, it's been such a learning curve. And I think that if you're not that kind of person, that it's not easy. It's not easy for anyone to stand up against, or not against.
It's incredibly hard. It is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that everyone does that, because no one's going to fight harder for your child than you.
Exactly. Definitely.
I think just to add on that, like, I speak up, but I have had support from people who have helped me to get to that point. And it's very easy to just, you know, to just try and maybe bury your head in the sand. And I have gone through a journey of doing the mindset work, of having the coaching to help me with the speaking up. So yeah. There is, I would say, if you're not comfortable yet in doing that, as Steph says, you will get there, but you may need a little help along the way, and don't be afraid to kind of reach out for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a lovely episode and I've gotten so much out of it. You're all very, very inspiring women. So thank you for sharing your journeys with us. And we hope you've enjoyed it as well.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us. This is my first podcast. I'm totally Instagramming all of this.
Steph, you're amazing.
Love it.
I'd like to continue. I've got another 3 hours spare.
You definitely have to come on again.
I was like, I can rap to almost every Nicki Minaj song. I'm just trying to think of my repertoire.
I'm going to get you on a live at this rate, Steph. The entertainment for the evening.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I should go straight from here to a live. Imagine.
That sounds like your night tomorrow, doesn't it, Manpreet? That's what you're doing.
Steph, honestly.
What are we doing?
It's my birthday tomorrow and I'm having a sing tea party.
You know, I'm going to send you a recording of Mariah Carey, right?
Oh, please, honestly. Every time I hear her, I think of you.
Just the epic chaos. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's been amazing.
Oh,
yeah, thank you guys so much. Thanks so much for coming on, guys.
And we will put everybody's Instagram handles in our show notes if you'd like to go over and follow all these inspirational ladies. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We had a great time recording this episode. And a huge thank you to Claire, Manpreet and Steph for their inspirational stories and journeys. I got so much out of it. I came away from that thinking, wow, I feel inspired by these lovely ladies. And we hope you do too. So have a look in our show notes if you want to follow those lovely ladies as well on Instagram there. Accounts will be on there and let us know what you think and we'll see you soon. Bye.